The next coach in the teleconference is Wisconsin's Brett Bielema. Batters are 2-1 in conference, 6-1 overall, ranked 12th in the Associated Press poll and 11th in the USA Today coaches poll. Wisconsin plays at Ohio State on Saturday night, an 8 p.m. game to be televised by ESPN. Coach, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Scott. Obviously, a heartbreaker on Saturday night to East Lansing. Give all the credit in the world to Coach D'Antonio and his staff and his players. We're able to play a complete game, out-executed us. We just gave too many things away. Didn't capitalize on all of our opportunities, but the good thing is we got an opportunity to get back on the road this week, go to a night game at Ohio State and play a much improved Ohio State team. They get better every week, playing with a lot of confidence. They had a bye week last week, so have our work cut out in front of us, but excited about the opportunity.
Yep. Thanks, Coach. Let's go to questions.
To ask Coach a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from the line of Ken Rota with ESPN Cleveland.
As a coach, what are you doing to make sure your team doesn't have a hangover from that loss at Michigan State this week during practice?
Yeah, we addressed it on Sunday. Actually addressed it Saturday in the locker room, but Sunday, you know, we're going to come over, and one of the worst things you have to do as a player, as a coach, is go through film after a loss. Fortunately for us here at Wisconsin, we haven't had to do that a lot, and I thought it was very important for our coaches to guide our players and to take the film, learn from the mistakes, the corrections. As coaches and players, we all made things that we can definitely improve upon. And then, you know, it's kind of like if you win a game or lose a game, it doesn't really matter. You know, it's not going to affect the next game unless you let it. So you got to shake it off. We traditionally take Mondays off around here. Kids came in with great energy today in the morning, lifting sessions and stuff, and excited to get out to practice this afternoon. But you know, because of the way our players responded in the second half, especially late in the fourth quarter, and never lost faith, just gives me a good indicator that they're not going to have anything carry into this weekend.
Coach, what does Ohio State possess as far as challenges to your football team?
Well, Ohio State's Ohio State. I don't care what the record is. They've got tremendous football players. They're very talented. Obviously, the more Luke and the staff gets comfortable for what their roles are and what they're doing on game day, they've played better and better. And obviously, they've got a quarterback they've settled in on, and he's doing some really good things. I had the pleasure of recruiting him out of high school. He's a tremendous kid, and you know, you can tell he's got talents abounding. So they're always tough on defense, and they're great on special teams.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Adam Rittenberg with ESPN.
I know you always spend a little bit of time each week on the bigger picture. I was just wondering if you did that with the team and talked about what's still out there for you guys as far as goals that are still on the table.
Yeah, Adam, I did mention to our guys, everybody was going to tell them what they had lost out on, but, you know, what I tried to stress to them is, you know, you didn't capitalize on an opportunity we have, but, you know, I think we had, over the last 3 years, had 9 or 10 straight Big Ten wins by almost 30 points a game over the last 3.5-plus years, you know, with this year included. I think there's only 3 or 4 teams in the world of college football that's won more games than Wisconsin, and nobody else in the Big Ten. So I kind of put that record in front of them and say, hey, that doesn't happen by chance. You know, what we do is good. Stick to the plan. Anytime you lose a game, you know, a lot of people have a tendency to flinch or start looking for answers, but the answers are in front of you. You just got to do what we do better and capitalize on the opportunity.
And as you continue to build your program, I mean, how important is it, again, to beat a team like Ohio State? I don't think a Big Ten team has beaten them in back-to-back years since the Badgers, and I think 2003-04 was the last time.
Yeah, Ohio State's a big thing. They're in our division. Obviously, we recruit against them. I think we have 15 players from the state of Ohio, so for us to be competitive in that state in recruiting, it's an important battle for us. You know, last week's game was important. This week's game is important for us in recruiting, but you know, obviously Ohio State has set the bar in this league for the last 5 or 6 years with their championships. When we were able to beat them last year, that was, you know, a very good point in our program. And this week's preparation is aiming to do the exact same thing. But how we play on Saturday will determine the results.
Thanks, Brett.
Yep.
Your next question comes from the line of Bob Baptist with the Columbus Dispatch.
Brett.
Hey, Bob.
First, how is Monty Ball different now from the player a year ago who wasn't in good enough shape and didn't have the right mindset to play as much as he thought he should?
Well, he's pretty good last year, and the good news this year is I think he's better. He had a year in our program of speed, skill, and development, so I think he changed, you know, from a physical standpoint a little bit, but it's just his mental toughness, his approach to the game. He wants the ball on every snap, whether it's running the football or catching the football. and he's just really grown as a human being, which helps him play better on Saturdays.
And also, on Russell said yesterday on his teleconference that he got a call from Ohio State last summer, I guess after Pryor was suspended, but by that time he was down to making the choice between you and Auburn. I wondered if at the time you were aware of that Ohio State had gotten in touch with him, and were you concerned at all you might lose him to a division team?
Yeah, Russell, as you get to know him, and I know you've seen his interviews, he has a nice little sense of humor to him, dryness to him, and he did email me or something. I think it was an email that he said, got a call from Ohio State today, dot, 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 or something. One of those things, like leaving it hanging out there, and didn't respond back to me for like 2 or 3 hours, you know, had my wheels spinning a little bit. And it was just kind of, I think, his way. He'd kind of settled in. I think it was us in Auburn at that point. He'd gone in that direction. I know he mentioned that to me, but what the amount of contact was, I never really got into it. He just basically said it was just down to us in Auburn after that point and move forward.
Thanks.
Yep.
Your next question comes from the line of Teddy Greenstein with the Chicago Tribune.
I know it's water under the bridge now, but do you think it would have made a difference for you guys on Saturday if you had been in a close tense game?
I get where that comes from. We had been, early on in Nebraska, and there was, obviously the start to certain games, but nothing for four quarters. But, you can't script anything but what the schedule has in front of you. We played very, very well in the games prior to this. We started off very well, obviously be down 14-0, and then had an unbelievably bad second quarter, the last 10 minutes of the half, and the character of our guys to come out and play the way they did in the third quarter and then in the fourth quarter to be down by two to respond back tells me that there wasn't any, big picture that was too big for them. They just handled the moment, came back, lost to a very good football team on a heartbreaker at the end, in a replay. So I just think that we'll take this experience and grow.
I guess my thought would be also because you didn't really have much negative film to show the guys because you guys had been dominant.
Yeah, very good point, especially, we gave them 10 points in the kicking game, then 2 points through. We had a chip shot field goal that Phil routinely made those, got that blocked, had a punt get blocked for a 7-point swing, and then obviously the 2 points in the safety. So, I don't think you can spot a team that's a top 15 team on the road in the Big Ten Conference, 10, 12 points out of special teams. Can't happen.
All right. Thanks.
Yep.
Your next question comes from the line of Todd Jones with the Columbus Dispatch.
Hey, Brett, I was just wondering if you could describe your relationship with Barry Alvarez, not just as a working relationship, but what he's meant to you as a coach and what you continued, what he built there.
Yeah, Coach Alvarez, obviously the guy I admired from far. I knew his history at Iowa when I was an assistant at Iowa. Started recruiting in Wisconsin a little bit, had a great relationship with him. I got to know him at some conventions. He actually was one of the main reasons I left Iowa. Ironically, didn't ever know I was going to work for him, but him and Bobby Stoops kind of cornered me at the National Coaches Convention when Coach Snyder had offered me a job as a co-coordinator at Kansas State. And I was probably leaning towards not taking it, and both of them kind of said, hey, you need to grow, you need to expand, you got a good career started, but you need to move on. And so I moved on to Kansas State, and then lo and behold, 2 years later, Coach Alvarez calls with an opportunity to be his defensive coordinator and came in. And I'm 100% truthful, I had no idea that he had thoughts about me being the head coach. Never was mentioned to me, never talked to me about it during the recruiting process. Came in, enjoyed my first year with him. Really got to see, the dynamic leader that he is. He's obviously great X's and O's in football, but dealing with the media, dealing with the fans, alumni, administration. Now he is my administration, so we've developed a great relationship. I think hopefully I've been able to have him hold his head high about the way we played here. And what we continue to do, and it's just I cannot put a price tag on the relationship that I have with our athletic director. And I think all of our coaches, from Bo Ryan to Bobby Kelsey, our women's basketball coach, that every coach on our campus probably feels that same way to have Coach Alvarez in that spot.
Your next question comes from the line of Jeff Patricus with the Journal Sentinel.
Brett, I forgot to ask you something yesterday, and maybe this is a minor point in the big picture, but in camp you guys talked about getting a third wide receiver to step up to help out, Nick and Jared.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just curious, it looks like you guys are still waiting for that, and will you need that at some point this season?
Well, I think, you know, when Nick was gone, Jeff, I thought Jeff Duckworth really, really did a nice job answering the bell, had a couple nice plays, you know, against Indiana, and has been that guy. We just felt really, in the Michigan State game, our better personnel groupings were 12 and 21, which, you know, only has two wide receivers on the field. Nick and Abby are very good. It's hard to take them off the field or justify that. So I get your point, you know, because we haven't had a third guy take a lot of reps. But it would be Duck, and he does on 11 personnel at times.
All right, Coach, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thank you.